When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pro wrestling punditry, because we are slamming it in your ear holes today. It is All Out week. It is StarCast week. It is NXT UK TakeOver week. It is New Japan Royal Quest week. It is Warrior Wrestling 6 week. And this is The Winkly. I am your host, managing editor of Wrestling Inc., Nick Housman, joined here as I am just about every Thursday by my good friend, Justin Labar. Justin, welcome back to The Winkly.
Great to be back.
It is a slam-banging time for pro wrestling right now. All the shows I just listed there at the top, those are all getting coverage this week, and that is five events. StarCast All Out, NXT UK TakeOver, New Japan Royal Quest, and Warrior Wrestling 6. It never stops, Justin. It just gets busier these days.
And it's only going to keep getting busier.
It is. Like I said, we're going to cover all those shows. I'm actually heading to Schaumburg here in a couple hours to go cover the All Out press conference and weigh-in. So I'll be on site. Michael Weissman will be on site as well, getting interviews and covering the events. And we hope you guys enjoy all of it. The rest of the stuff that I talked about, we're just going to have coverage on the site. So stay with us all weekend long for all your pro wrestling news. And speaking of pro wrestling news, we're going to have a whole bunch of it here for you today. Busy past 24 hours in the world of pro wrestling at Wrestling Inc. We're going to give you all the news of the day here in just a moment. But right after that, you're going to get two big interviews. Right after the news, you're going to hear from our good friend TJP, the former Cruiserweight champion, the current Impact Wrestling star, TJ Perkins, talking to us all about his return to Impact Wrestling, their upcoming tapings here in Vegas, their recent tapings down in Mexico, and a lot more. You're also going to hear from, right after TJ, our good friend Scott Fishman. He got an interview with Netflix Glow's Kimmy Gatewood, one of the biddies, is going to be here on the show today. So an awesome collection of talent. You did that giggle when I said biddies?
Yeah, I was watching Glow last night. I love that show.
That's my biddies impression. Yes, they're delightful. She's hilarious. And Kimmy Gatewood is the one. We've had Shavo on before to talk about Glow. He, of course, does the wrestling training. And he said Kimmy took to the wrestling quicker than any other cast member on the show. So awesome interview. Thank you, Scott. You're going to get it here later. TJP, Kimmy Gatewood. But let's get to it here. News you can use. News that leave a bruise. We'll get to something that broke just before we went on the air, and that is the coveted PWI 500. It's out, Justin. Are you going to run to your Walgreens and grab the paper copy, add it to your collection?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the PWI 500. It's always cool to see what these guys over at Pro Wrestling Illustrated think of the current state of pro wrestling and who's on top. Well, this year, the man to top the PWI 500 is Seth Rollins. He's number one. Followed by Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Kazuchika Okada, Johnny Gargano, Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Will Ospreay. What do you think, Seth Rollins? Is he the number one for the last year?
I don't disagree with it. I don't think it's offensive. I mean, you know, you look at the fact that he has remained largely healthy, the workload that he's carried for WWE. And it's just performances his performances are top notch. Who he works with, ranging from the type of match you have with Brock Lesnar down to You know, the type of match he can have with guys like AJ Styles. So, I mean, I have no problem with him being number one. I mean, this is what's so fun about it. Yeah, I agree with you. I look forward to this every year because there's so many ways and so many different kind of criteria that you can try to impose to make your case for who should be number one, who should be number two. So, yeah, I'm fine with this.
Okay. You know, for my money, I was surprised that Cody Rhodes didn't break the top 10. I thought that, you know, he's really stolen the show, I think, at all the AEW-related events here. His match is always the most buzzed about. So I was a little surprised to see Kobe wasn't in the top 10. And Seth, yeah, I mean, look, Seth Rollins, he's beat Brock Lesnar. He's been on a tear, you know, a huge push. But for me personally, the Kofi Kingston story still resonates more for me. For a guy, for somebody to go from one place to another in a year span, I think Kofi Kingston has got to be considered. I mean, he's number four here on the list, but I think that he very deserving. Daniel Bryan at number two, great. Everything Daniel Bryan touches turns to gold. So a lot of cases that could be made here, you know.
Yeah, and I agree. I could, you know, I could sit comfortably if both Kofi and Bryan were ahead of Seth. If it went, you know, sure. Kofi, Bryan, then Seth. You know, like I think you could definitely interchange and make a case. All the things you just said about Kofi, Bryan, if you want to factor in kind of like the comeback story of the guy who, you know, we thought was retired and, you know, for medical reasons and has come back and is seemingly knock on wood here, has not missed a beat and not been set back at all with injury.
Yeah, well, look at that. And Will Ospreay here at number 10. Him and Seth Rollins, only nine places apart. There you go.
Do you know where Cody did? Where is Cody? Where did he rank? Do you know in front of you where he put?
I could probably pull it up here. Let me see here.
Because I mean that's a fair point too as well with Cody.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the thing though is like every match that Cody has on these AEW shows gets like high acclaim. You know, him and Dustin tore the house down. That was probably match of the year. You know, that's why I was just surprised that Cody wasn't listed here. Let's see here, full list. Man, I wonder if somebody wrote it up. Is that okay? Does PWI want you doing that? I guess that's why you buy the magazine, right?
That's why you want to buy it. But, you know, the other thing I wonder about Cody, too, is that don't they isn't there – yeah, the evaluation period – the Cody match actually might have been after the evaluation period because they do it by certain dates. Like, I think July 1 of 2018 to June 30, 2019. So when was the Cody match?
Okay. The Cody match.
Cody and Dustin?
The Cody Dustin match was a couple months ago. It was like
okay, so if it was before June 30th, then it counts at the time.
I can't easily find this. The only the top 10 is leaked online right now. So anyway,
well, we've just given PWI an infomercial. Go buy the magazine.
Go buy the magazine. All right, let's move to some more news here. Well, this one caught everybody this morning. The Observer reporting that WWE officials have been in talks with Enzo and Cass, the former tag team, about a surprise return to be top stars in NXT. Now, there's no word yet if Enzo and Cass have accepted the offer, but apparently they have been in talks. Now, there's obviously there's speculation that they would return on the September 18th NXT USA Network premiere, but the Observer speculated that Vince could save them for week three, which is head-to-head with AEW TNT on October 2nd. My gut reaction is this is, I don't think, a good move for NXT, but what do you think?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you want to base it on. You know, I mean, would they pop a rating? Probably. These two guys, when they were together, they were one of the hottest things. It was once they were apart, things started, you know, whether or not obviously not as much Cass as Enzo. Obviously, Enzo left with a lot of controversy with how he rubbed people the wrong way. And then, of course, you know, in the midst of the allegations that came about him and on the day of the famous Raw 25 show, you know, I don't know. Is that good for the locker room? There's a lot of debate. Bottom line, when they're together, they were at their best when they were together and on NXT. So, by that statement, you know, and you're looking for weapons to combat against competition. It's worth a conversation.
I don't know, man. I was in Madison Square Garden when that whole thing went down with them and Bully and the Briscoes, and the reaction was not like, boo, I want to watch you get beat up. The reaction was, oh, F me. People were not happy that they were there. And, you know, if we're talking NXT, that demo right there, that AEW, that ROH demo, that hardcore fan demo, I don't know that this pops a rating. I don't know that this – I mean, look, I would learn from what happened with the ROH incident. You want to talk about them having on Raw or SmackDown? Whatever. Those are Vince's territories. Well, They're different audiences. I don't think they do anything for NXT.
But the ROH situation was, you know, meant for them to come out and be, look like they're invading or whatever. I mean, if they are being consciously and purposely put on the show,
no
and this
matter,
back in NXT,
no matter how they would have been presented on that show, that audience did not want to see them, Justin. I'm telling you, I was there. Like, if people had known they were going to be there, I think they'd have bitched about it before the show because it's just not their crowd. I'm telling you, man.
All right. Well, I mean, again, they were at their best when they're together and on NXT. So them being together and back on NXT, it's at least worth a conversation.
I would not have that conversation. I would laugh at whoever told me that. And specifically for NXT, I just don't see them for that demo. I think if you're in that fan base and you're saying, do I watch AEW this week, a fun product with Renegades, or do I watch the Enzo and Cass show? I'm telling you, this does not help NXT.
Why? But why? Is it what is it about them? Is it because of all
the bad stories, the poor work rate? I mean, it's just not the demo, you know.
Well, I mean, look, the bad story. I mean, look, you know, you can't erase the bad stories, but of course, in wrestling, certainly many people have gotten a second chance, and many people have thrived in that second chance to learn from the first go around. Work rate wise, Cass is in phenomenal shape right now. He's gotten himself in a phenomenal shape. It seems like he's in a better mental place, which is great.
Sure.
And Enzo is Enzo, but I mean, but again, together they on NXT is when they were at their best. So I think it's worth a conversation.
All right. Well, we'll see if it metastasizes or not, but I my gut says this is not a bullet in the chamber. This is a bullet in the foot for NXT, in my opinion. So I it's like you bring it back, keep Vince's little sandbox there, maybe it'll be okay. But I don't see them working.
No, because Vince's sandbox is where they rub the people the wrong way. It was NXT seems like it's where they at least thrived.
I don't know, man. All right. Well, on that note, let's talk about the NXT Raw and SmackDown sandboxes here. Now, also from the Observer just this morning, WWE officials have been discussing a new draft concept. We're done with the shakeup, I guess, finally here, Justin. I think it went 20-something weeks. The shakeup is over. Now we're moving on to the draft to build permanent Raw and SmackDown rosters. Have you heard this one before, Justin? Stop me if you've heard this before. Have you heard this?
Isn't this a rerun?
I read this, and I was like, I'm having deja vu. Now, apparently, this was a new directive that was made by Vince McMahon. The plans right now... I'm sorry, what'd you say, Justin? Did you say something there?
Sure,
yeah. Vince is like, time for a draft. We've got to make these brands permanent. The plans are being kept quiet as USA and Fox reps will be the first ones to know when the new concept is decided on. There's no concrete word yet on NXT superstars being used on Raw to build their names ahead of the NXT USA premiere on September 8th, but there have been arguments for and against the idea. Some feel that this would give NXT talents exposure to build the USA Network launch. The other argument is that any kind of cross-pollination on Raw would establish the NXT stars as secondary-level talent, so they want to avoid that right now. But bringing the NXT superstars to Raw ahead of the big premiere could also lead to more interference from the vision that NXT higher-ups have. So this is where it comes down to Hunter and Vince, it sounds like. It was described to the Observer that Triple H's dream of creating a legitimate third brand of his own, it just came true. It happened. The boyhood dream has been realized. But now he is faced with the task of playing defense to keep Vince and Kevin Dunn's influence away from NXT. Where is this WWE Network show? This is the sitcom that I want. Anyway, the only twist here, I guess, from this report as opposed to different draft reports is now there's like, you know, I guess Triple H is going to try to establish this as something different here, you know, with little Vince influence. And, you know, Enzo has talked about how Triple H did not really like him, right? Vince liked him. So that's why, again, I say I think outside that sandbox he'd be fine. But if Vince is going to try to force things on Hunter that he doesn't want as part of that product, I cannot wait to read the reports coming out from backstage here in the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's been. It's you know, Triple H is doing things one way and has the NXT vision, which has been very successful, and it's different from how we, you know, have come to learn that Vince and Kevin Dunn operate. I mean, this is just more just highlighting and just more reminding us what the situation is, and again, all the more interesting, as you know, because again, NXT is probably going to beat Raw or SmackDown in the ratings at some point, and what's the reaction then? Like, what happens then?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think Sean Waltman predicted that NXT would maybe soon beat Raw and SmackDown in the ratings just out of interest alone. So, this is a struggle here. You know, even before the USA move, I had heard that, you know, Triple H and Vince, they butt heads, right, creatively on a lot of things. But NXT was where Hunter could go. He had freedom. He loved that product. Now it's going to be a very different ballgame here. And again, it's like, yeah, you know, if this reports we were reading yesterday coming out saying Hunter's going to be allowed to give freedom here as long as the rating stays up, I don't know. But again, that ends over. I read that and I was like, you know, because I think it was Malnowski here for our site. He just said that, you know, Triple H didn't like him. Vince did. And Vince was the one that would always put him into things. And so I don't know that. I don't know. That story in particular, I just don't know how that square peg fits into the round hole, you know?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be all kumbaya. Again, that's why I keep saying the phrase, it's at least worth a conversation.
Let's have a conversation about Nakamura and Zayn. At WrestleVotes, reporting that Nakamura and Zayn, this partnership could lead to a feud between the two, with one of the ideas being discussed for Nakamura and Zayn, being that it would eventually resemble the friendship storyline of Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho that everybody really liked, Festival of Friendship back in 2016, 2017. It would lead to a big-time blow-off match between the two, and it was noted that they would be surprised if the storyline lasted all the way to WrestleMania 36. So maybe it'll blow up before then. Now, there's no word on who would turn babyface, Nakamura or Zayn, or if WWE has plans for the alliance to lead to a feud between the two even sooner. So anyway, watching these two put together here, one of my thoughts in the back of my head was definitely like, this can't last forever here. If you're going to turn one of them, Sami Zayn is such a great heel. I could see this as a chance to maybe try to get Nakamura back on track here to the star he was down in NXT, you know?
Yeah, it would make sense to keep, you know, Sammy, who's, you know, almost taking control and thinking and talking for Nakamura, for him to, you know, break out of the brainwash spell, go back to being a babyface. He would make more sense as a babyface, and God, get rid of the heel music that he has. I hate the version of his music with the lyrics. But you know, if a goal is for this to resemble the wonderful Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho saga that was so well done, one of the best, you know, stories well done and payoffs and everything in recent memory, that is a high mountain for these two, especially when one of them doesn't do much talking in the first place to try to climb.
I'm fascinated by this dynamic, man. I really like Nakamura and Zayn together, but yeah, you know, if this is a chance for Zayn to do something to screw over Nakamura accidentally, and everybody's like, oh, Nakamura is going to get Zayn, and it gives everybody a chance to rally behind Nakamura. You know, where they go from there, who knows? But I in my head, I see the dynamic, and I like it. I think that this could be very entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's got potential. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, like I said, I think the verdict's still out, and they're going to be judged based upon how these next few weeks go. There is potential for sure. It's just up to this point. Anything that's kind of what makes Sammy talking for Nakamura work. But then they eventually have to split, and Nakamura, he communicates in so many other ways other than verbally. And that can sometimes be, that can be an obstacle in WWE. So I don't know. We'll see.
We got an update here from yesterday. We were talking about that teased, Bray Wyatt versus, or the Fiend versus either Braun or Seth Rollins match, that the venue for Hell in a Cell released, accidentally, in an announcement, or possibly intentionally, who knows. But in regards to the possible match between Wyatt and Braun, Braun tweeted out the following: if the student has to teach the teacher, then so be it. He can get these hands like anybody else. To which Bray Wyatt responded, LOL, come teach me, baby boy. I love you. I've never lost to Seth, and I don't care if I die. Literally. What a maniac. I just had to read that. It did well on the site, too, but it was a cool exchange, I thought. Man, Bray Wyatt. A couple nuts roll around up there. A couple nuts loose up in the brain skull, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about this after our conversation yesterday with Winkley. You know, who knows? It's not, WWE has done this before in terms of where they, you know, oh, something accidentally got public. Oh, our bad. Maybe the arena advertising this Fiend title match, maybe this was calculated, because Bray Wyatt certainly is probably the most talked about, and in terms of what his booking is, everything's like very still mysterious, but everything's very interesting. So I mean, both for local ticket sales and for just general interest, and again, this is a pay-per-view that's ending what's going to be the kickoff week of this craziness between WWE, Fox, and AEW and everything. Maybe they calculated and purposely have put it out there that he is going to be booked into the title match to get the conversations going, to get the people talking, to get, I mean, you know, Braun Strowman is like, sometimes it works. Maybe this is what's happening here. Cause I have a hard time believing that, I don't know. It just seems interesting, especially with Bray and Braun now talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the dynamic's there. I think it's very cool that, you know, Braun's playing into it, leaning into the Wyatt family history and everything. So anyway, wasn't calculated. Who knows? Resulted in some fun tweets. Fun tweet yesterday also came from Cesaro. He's finally got his braces off after wearing 2 years. He joked that he could enjoy the best fruits again. Of course, Cesaro had his front teeth knocked out when he was launched into a turnbuckle by Dean Ambrose at the 2017 No Mercy pay-per-view. Congratulations, Cesaro. Adult braces. That's rough. It's a rough go of it. It mentally taxes you too, you know?
Yeah, I'd actually forgot until he tweeted that. I forgot about that whole incident until then.
Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe. Do you think this results in a better push for Cesaro now that he's bracesless?
Well, I have heard that Vince is a thing against braces. He thinks it's a sign of weakness, so perhaps.
Your teeth are weak. Are all over the place.
Exactly. If he's offended by sneezing and yawning, you know he's offended by braces on your teeth.
Getting a little spinach in there. It's gross. Also on Twitter, we had Ali. Matt Hardy did a Twitter Q&A. Ali jumped in and asked him if they could be a tag team, and he said, yes, that'd be wonderful. Of course, they tagged together, I guess, on some live events not long ago. But Hardy was also asked about the WWE-AEW Wednesday Night War, which he responded, I think it'll be good for the industry, the performers, and the fans. Competition forces everyone to be more creative and work harder. Of which I think Matt Hardy then waved his hand over his head and was like, hi, Vince! I'm very creative. There's things I can do. Yeah, nothing with Matt right now. He's totally healthy too. They're not really doing anything with him, right?
That is correct. He's he's a guy who he's proven on the second half of his career. I mean, what a resurgence of his career that anywhere he's gone in these last 5-6 years, when he has creative freedom, he's turned it to gold. So again, if you're Vince in WWE, you know, yeah, he's, you know, probably only got a couple years left physically, as he's in his 40s now, but, you know, he's somebody that I would, you know, be thinking a couple steps ahead of, you know, what are you doing with him? When's the contract up? You know, what's the deal?
See, he's somebody I think that would get positive attention at NXT. If fans found out Matt Hardy was going to go out to NXT and get to be woken, broken, Matt Hardy, whatever you want to call, and play around in that sandbox down there, that I think that would be fun. I think he would work well in that environment. It would add that, you know, it's a very... it's a more sports-driven show and an element of that kind of, you know, that creativity that Matt Hardy brings to it outside the box kind of attitude. I think it would be a nice addition to that show.
Yeah, and you know, prior it might have been hard to justify that given what he's getting paid, but now that this show is now going to be on USA and it's going to be bringing in the different reported numbers we've talked about, you can now justify putting one of your investments of the at the money level that he is on that show.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, Adam Cole, Matt Hardy, be a heck of a lot of fun. Velveteen Dream, Matt Hardy, that'd be incredible. That'd be wonderful. WWE filed the trademark for the Irresistible Force on Monday. Of course, that was the moniker that Nia Jax had been using. Nia had surgery on 2 torn ACLs in April. No word yet on when she's going to be back in the ring. Dude, I forgot about that. Two, both your ACLs torn. That sounds painful as anything.
Yeah, I mean that's always the keeping the wheels healthy is always the biggest thing if you're a larger performer. You know, I said, you know, like, you know, look at the amount of performers that are, you know, taller and bigger stature, and that's always got to keep the wheels and the knees going good. So yeah, I mean that's 2 torn ACL. That's serious, and that's not a quick rehab.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Nia back in the mix right now. Like, I'm very happy with both the programs we have rolling into WWE Clash here at the moment with Charlotte and Bayley, which I think is great. And, of course, Sasha and Becky's been great. But, you know, each of these champions are going to need more competitors to roll out to. And Alexa Bliss is always there, but she's kind of, like, working the tag scene right now. Nia Jax, I think that, you know, absence makes the memory or the heart grow fonder here. I think that people will be excited to see Nia Jax back in the women's title picture when she comes back.
Wouldn't you be excited to see Nia pick right back up where Enzo left off before he got fired, or the little love affair that they're starting to tease?
Is that where this is going to go? We're going to put Nia Jackson next to you with Enzo? You know, Justin, you pitch sometimes the absolute greatest ideas in the history of professional wrestling to me, and that one, oh, the cherry on the sundae of creative ideas.
That's what they were doing just when Enzo was on 205 Live. They were just on the tail end of his career. They were teasing him and Nia. Yeah, there you go. You can pick right back up.
You know what? I read Twitter, and the one thing I keep hearing fans clamoring for, Justin, is the continuation of the Nia Jax Enzo feud. They're like, ugh, I feel so blue-balled. We needed more from these two, you know?
How you doing?
All right. Lastly here, before we get into some AEW news, Rey Mysterio, Impact World Champion Brian Cage, his wife Melissa Santos, they were in Medellin, Colombia for a medical tourism trip. Mysterio, Cage, and Santos received stem cell treatment at Bio Accelerator facility. During the trip, the wrestling stars also went paragliding. There you go. But this is the same facility that Ryback and Kevin Nash, I believe, were at recently. I think, yep. KM was just on the show talking about how he's going to go down there and scope it out. This is a big trend right now, this stem cell research. You know, it's still pretty new, right? We don't really know what the long-term effects are. I'm not a doctor. I've read some certain things that, you know, can be hit or miss with this, but the guys seem to be helping out those that have done it so far quite a bit.
Columbia is becoming the new Birmingham, Alabama for wrestlers. Kevin Nash, you know, he did it. He talked about it. And by the way, cheap plug, Kevin Nash, he'll be at Wheeling Island Casino on September 13th with us for IWC Wrestling. Wheeling Island Casino in Wheeling, West Virginia. Do a meet and greet. It starts at 5 o'clock. You can meet Kevin, and then have a great show, a great wrestling show after the fact. And you can ask him about his stem cell research.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, you know what? Treatment. So, you know, speaking of Kevin Nash's absolute best friend, CM Punk. You know how good of friends these guys are? They love each other. Such good friends. CM Punk broke the internet a little bit in the last 24 hours. He cut his first in-ring promos in years for a segment, a video promotional bit for StarCast. Now, I saw this immediately. I knew where this was filmed. It was filmed at the Pro Wrestling. It was filmed in the Pro Wrestling Tees ring. Did you know the Pro Wrestling Tees, first of all, did you know they had a ring?
Yes.
Okay. It is in like their warehouse facility next to their retail area. So there's the Freelance Wrestling Training Academy is in there. It's where wrestling happens down the street. It's up here not too far from where I live, actually. So CM Punk, he goes to the Pro Wrestling Tees ring. I'm told it was with the StarCast filming crew to do this little video bit. Now, at one point, Punk took a bump in the ring. He said, "I just took a bump. That's like 20 grand right there. Thank you, Conrad." Hilarious. But the thing that got everybody buzzing out of this, it's a funny little video, but he does eventually get to an actual little promo towards the end where he had the following to say in regards to his appearance. "I'm sorry to inform you all that I have to cancel my upcoming appearance at StarCast." That's what everybody does, right? Everybody cancels. "Well, I'm not effing canceling because I don't cancel, because I do what I want. Nobody can tell me where to go, who to work for, who to sign autographs for. Whether I have to smile to take pictures or not, I will smile because I'm actually happy to see you, but I'm not going to cancel, unlike everybody else who's ever done StarCast. I will be there, and I will see you Saturday." And, of course, I believe what he was referring to was it was also announced the last 24 hours by Conrad Thompson that Jon Moxley has officially been pulled from StarCast. He says, "We received word today that unfortunately Moxley won't be able to travel to StarCast. Once he got word from his doctor, he told us, 'I'm sorry, this sucks.' I'm sure we all echo those sentiments. We wish him a speedy recovery and look forward to seeing him soon." Of course, Moxley out of All Out due to the MRSA staph infection in his elbow. Did you watch the Punk video, first of all?
I did not. I'm blocked by him, so if it was on his Twitter, I can't see it.
No, I think StarCast shared it out.
Oh, no, I did not see it. Are you insinuating that he's taking a shot at Moxley, or is he referencing like how like the WWE related guys who have been booked and then get pulled?
I think he's like, referring what? To everybody. I think he's talking to everybody who pulls out. I think he was ribbing Conrad with those comments there right now. Conrad leaned into it. I mean, better to laugh it off, right, than be miserable. So in a lot of ways, I think he did him a favor by calling it out. And not that I thought there was any malice to it, but I think he was calling out something that a lot of people are saying on Twitter right now.
Yes or no? Is CM Punk going to show up Saturday?
Of course he'll show up. Yeah, of course he'll show up Saturday. Why wouldn't
No, no, I mean, I don't mean StarCast. I mean, I mean, are we going to see him in an AEW ring Saturday night up here?
I mean, my gut says yes, just because, like, there seems to be...
All the stars are aligning.
Yeah, man. It just seems like there's too much. And like, if it doesn't happen, I think people will be upset, you know?
Which they can't be, because, I mean, well, it's tough, because he's coming out here saying him and they all keep saying, like, you know, nothing's, you know, and obviously, of course, they're going to say that. They're not going to, you know, spoil a surprise. But, I mean, if you do walk away upset, like, I know people that are going to the show Saturday night. I know people that are traveling, and, like, they kind of have, like, this expectation to see him. So, like, I'm curious, like, if they leave and don't see him, I mean, they can't blame. It's not like he's been advertised to be part of All Out. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I was just curious. You know, and by the way, for anybody who wants to make predictions of what's going to happen at Saturday night for AEW, you can go to WrestleRumble.com, make your predictions. They do the pick 'em for WWE, but they're doing it for this big event for AEW, and you can win up to $1,000 if you predict the most correct answers of who's going to win.
I'm just saying, Jericho picks up the victory here, you know, wins the title at All Out, and all of a sudden you hear, and Punk comes out to confront Jericho, and that's what you got going into AEW on TNT. That's about as strong as hook as you can get.
That is about as strong as a hook you can get. And, I mean, you know, Punk's all about wanting to do things that he has fun with. And, you know, you'd think that this would be fun. And, you know, by the way, it's a little bonus that he'd be getting to compete against Vince. I mean, all the stars align for it. He's not at any other MMA event on the same day as he has been on some of the past AEW shows. It's in Chicago of all frickin' places. So, I mean, like, this kind of does seem like it's like you're lightning in a bottle right here.
Hey, Vince, they're going to put up Jericho Punk on their debut. God damn it. Give me Enzo.
You are so bothered by that story. I love it.
It's just gross, man. It just shows like such a miscalculation of the audience, in my opinion. If it's true.
I would say if it's true.
If it's true. It's just, I don't know, man. You got Jericho Punk is what we're pontificating about right now could possibly be happening. Work rate. Great characters, something that the diehards will love, and they're like, get us Enzo. I don't know, man. It's just so dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll be honest, back to the Punk thing. When I think about Punk with AEW, I mean, obviously Punk Jericho would be great. You know, and we have, I get actually more excited. Can't, obviously, you know, we're waiting for his health to, I get more excited by the thought of the character of CM Punk versus the character of Jon Moxley. That gets me more excited.
Yeah. Well, in the video, it was interesting. Punk was like, well, should I call myself Phil? Should you call me Punk? Who am I now? That was really funny. Especially considering the fact that, dude, when I first met Punk, I'm not kidding, I was told, do not call him Phil. He hates that. Like, for years, that was the thing. For him to actually be able to lighten up enough and make that joke, I actually think says something about this guy and where his head's at right now. He seemed pretty playful. He seemed pretty damn playful in this video, too. You know, he bounces around the ring a little bit. He does this bit where he sits down Indian style, and he's like, wait, I can't do this. Everybody does this now. It's just like, you know, he's calling everything out.
If it's all true, again, it goes back to what he's always talked about. He wants to do things on his terms, things that are fun. So maybe he's getting ready to have fun.
Yeah, he definitely looked like he was in a good mood and very fit. Very fit. Obviously, he's way into the MMA training, which is the other thing here, too. I know that he loves the MMA thing right now, and he loves being around legitimate fighters. I've heard, you know, through channels that, like, you know, the reason he stayed so far away from pro wrestling is because his MMA buddies, like, kind of, you know, maybe don't like it as much, and he's trying to, like, shake that off a little bit so he can be taken more seriously. So I don't know.
I think his fighting career is done. I think he even said something similar. Like, I think, you know, he took a stab at it. He tried it. Good for him, but it didn't work out. I mean, I think his involvement in the MMA world from this point moving on, he can always, of course, train just to stay involved and just stay healthy. But I think anything with MMA at this point for is just going to be announcing for him.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I think it was important to keep the pro wrestling stuff away as he was trying to train and trying to get ready to be in the cage and be taken seriously. But I think, you know, I think that's come and gone. So, you know, what a perfect world for him. If and obviously I'm sure Tony Khan and AEW would welcome it, that he, you know, wrestle for and perform for them, but still be able to do some MMA, you know, announcing and such like that. And then, you know, what a great crossover for AEW to have one of their top talents be featured in other, you know, something else like that. So I think he's done with the MMA fighting professionally, you know, and so therefore needing to shake that pro wrestling stank off of him, maybe not, it's not as relevant now.
Yeah, Yeah, who knows? Interesting time here. And of course, you know, these are, look, if I don't know that you could get a more perfectly set up big money run than what he's looking at right now. And, you know, nothing, just not talking negatively about his work, you know, doing MMA commentary. He's got a new horror movie out. He's trying acting out, right? He's done comic book writing. I don't know how much money he's making for all those things. I cannot imagine he's going to make as much money as whatever gigantic check Tony Khan is willing to write him to come be a part of AEW for 3 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows? It might. I mean, obviously, he'd get well paid, yes, but, like, you know, it doesn't seem like money is something that he, you know, really, yeah, doesn't seem like that big of a thing to him. At least that's how he, you know, portrays it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And what ails you? You're bored sitting around your house, your giant condo in Wicker Park, Chicago. Here, it gets bored. I mean, I got to think all signs, you know, point to him.
It's hard. It's hard to get bored. It's hard to get bored when you're sitting around AJ. But
yeah, well, you know, whatever. His wife, right? His wife's got a little dog. You know, anyway. Lastly here, last bit of AEW news. Awesome Kong has been confirmed for the Casino Battle Royal at AEW's All Out. It'll happen as part of their buy-in pre-show. There are now 11 confirmed women for the 21-woman match. Kong, Brandi Rhodes, Ali, Sakazaki, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, Jazzy Valise, Teal Piper, Big Swole, and Sadie Gibbs. So we'll get 10 other women on top of that. The last time they did this with the men's version of Casino Battle Royale, Hangman Page won, and then he went on to face Jericho, who won the match between Jericho and Omega. Kong would seem likely here, but then who did they face for the inaugural AEW Women's Championship? Last time it was like, oh, you either face Jericho or Omega. Who's the big name that you put up against the winner of this?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I gotta show love to Britt. I mean, obviously she was, you know, part of the unveiling and the rollout, you know, 9 months ago. So I gotta think that she's at least in a conversation of inaugural champion.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if we see Scarlett Bordeaux here. I wonder if she's gonna be one of the women that gets tossed into this. She's like the biggest women free agent I can think of right now. Yeah. I don't know. My guest at this time is a former Impact Wrestling X Division champion. He can be seen every Friday night as part of Impact Wrestling. It is TJP. TJ, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're making regular appointments out of this thing.
Yeah, well, you know, you've done so much, TJ. It's like, you know, when you get access, it's like when you get access to the library, you want to read all the books. You know what I mean, man? You don't do that in one day.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
No problem, man. Well, today we are talking all Impact Wrestling. Of course, you made your way back to Impact here a little over a month ago now. How are you approaching this run with Impact differently than you've approached your previous runs with the company?
Well, I think, you know, previously coming in at the time, like the X Division was such a benchmark, like for, I think, the industry. It was starting to really grow and become a thing. So going in at that time, especially being as young as I was and being the size that I was, obviously, well, for younger fans, it's, you know, they may not realize this, but the business used to be way more slanted against fellows of my stature, which is of average height and weight and below. So I kind of knew that was my outlet, was the X Division going in before. But now, you know, wrestling is so different. And the company is so broadly built. Like, the roster is incredible, for one. I think it's probably the best roster they've ever had as far as talent goes. And so there's a broad spectrum of people that would make interesting matchups. So I feel like, for the first time, I'm not necessarily only relegated to being in the X Division, because there's just everybody's in every division there.
Now that you've gone out and you've had time to really go out and you know, make a big name for yourself, TJ, do you feel more pressure this time around coming into Impact?
Not necessarily. I feel maybe more responsibility is probably the best way to put it. I don't tend to, I guess, register pressure, but, you know, the years have started to pile on. And I think now, like, the environments that I go to and the environments that I tend to create now, just because of the things that I've done and my experience and what it kind of creates, like, for the people around me. So, like, I end up being a leader when I'm not necessarily thinking that I go into situations thinking I'm going to be a leader, but now it's like I'm looked at for certain things, and you know, it's really just because of you know, the roads that I've been on, and now I'm kind of circling back to an old familiar place.
Do you find that a lot of talent is coming up to you in the locker room, I guess, asking you for talent and advice, putting together their matches now?
Yeah, tons. And I'm like, guys, and I want to say I'm the young guy here, and I'm not anymore, but I find that it actually helps me learn a lot too, because, I was always told at a young age, that perhaps the role that I would be in later would be that of a coach or producing that sort of thing. And to mentor, just because people saw like my IQ developing at such a young wrestling age. And I never, you think that window is so far away, and now it's like I'm at a place where I can kind of do both. And so I do tend to run into guys that want to work with me a little bit more hands-on and kind of get my take on stuff.
Well, physically, how are you holding up these days, TJ?
Some mornings I wake up feeling like Frankenstein. Today was one of those days, actually. Yeah. But I feel pretty good. I think that's thankfully the fruits of my technical wrestling labor. You know, I always thought that would be a lifesaver someday for me, that if I could kind of branch out and get more into that sort of genre of our art. And it's one of the reasons why I've taken a lot of pride in it, just because it's low wear and tear on the body as far as, you know, being able to go for longevity.
Yeah, sure. Well, with Impact Wrestling, you guys had your most recent set of TV tapings down in Mexico City. How did you enjoy your time down in Mexico City at these tapings?
I loved it. It was actually in the neighborhood I grew up in, sort of out there when I was living out there.
Okay.
I say grew up in, but it was only a year. But there's an area around the Revolution Monument. I stayed at the Hotel Montemar when I was 18, anyway. And nearby Arena Mexico. And the shows were out there around that area. And it was just nice to be back in the area and kind of, I've been back to Mexico a few times since then, but not that specific part. So to have the shows there and to have those local fans, be the ones to perform in front of and to eat OXXO junk food and, just hear the sounds of the city was pretty cool.
How do you, when you go down to Mexico and you perform, do you change up your style and your presentation for the fans there?
Not a whole lot, but I'll throw in a few Easter eggs for them that I kind of feel like only they would recognize, just stylistically, like certain things about the way I'll move or the way that I'll pace certain things, just because I know what they're familiar with. So sometimes I'll try to do that just as a way of try going to it'd be like going to like an alien planet and like finding a way to communicate without directly speaking language. It's like my way of kind of waving to them from the ring without being so obvious about it.
That's awesome, man. Talking about your presentation, I was like, looking into what's been going on here since the last time we talked, and I like was just listening to your new theme song for Impact. It's pretty badass, man. I think you have one of the better Impact songs. Did you have any input into that?
Yeah, I actually picked it. Originally, they gave me this hip-hop song, and Eric Tompkins swung and missed on that one, and we were texting back and forth. He said, "What do you think of this?" And I said, I don't like that one at all, but I'd known him a while, so he said, "Look here, you can kind of scroll through a database and things here that and see what we got on the production side." So that was kind of cool because I got to like see what the production team kind of works with, like some of their materials and some of their process. But I went through and picked something, and I wanted to find something that was a little bit more rock and roll. I felt like that was missing from like my WWE stuff and even other iterations in other places. And I was looking for something that was a little bit like overmodulated Jack White, maybe like Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. And I just found that beat and had some lyrics to it. And I don't know, I just liked it. It just felt very me.
Do you get jacked up then when you're about to come through the curtain and this music hits you?
I get a little bit more excited than previous songs I've had, just because, I've always had good music, but it didn't always necessarily suit me. You know, sometimes I get partnered up with like Florida alt rock, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not like my style, I guess. So this one's a little bit more me.
Florida alt rock. I gotta go to the record store and find that section.
I don't think there's a tab for it. I don't think there's record stores anymore, Nick. I think that we may have not gotten out of the house for, in a while.
I live in Chicago. I live in Chicago, and I am within walking distance of not only one but two record stores because the hipsters are pretty much taking over here.
Well, I guess that's probably true. I mean, that is a very, very trendy city as far as something like that would go, I guess. But yeah, if you were to hang out in Florida and drive around, guarantee you the radio would have played at least three or four songs that could have been entrance music for me at some point in time because of it's just, I don't know, it's a subconscious genre that they have that people don't realize that they have. I don't even think they realize they have it.
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, how you've been presented before. You know, it's no secret you're a big gamer. Impact has a relationship with Twitch. They air on Twitch. What do you think of that relationship? Do you have any ideas about what Impact could be doing to expand that relationship with Twitch?
Well, I wish I knew the ins and outs of expanding on Twitch, because I stream on Twitch and I wish that I was better at it. But I will say that I found that it was really interesting initially coming back that was one of their like distribution platforms was having their content on there. And I've come to find that a lot of their audience, like that's a pretty strong like outlet for them. And I think that's cool because that's like, I think we had spoken before about the way that wrestling has changed as far as there's so many different ways to see it, to view it, and, you know, obviously now to distribute it and to use that platform, which is so heavily used for so many different like forms of entertainment. And, you know, nobody, I don't know that many people that are doing it, at least at that scale. I found that to be a really interesting outlet for them.
Yeah, I agree, you know, and that's the thing is I feel like with you, it doesn't surprise me that you stream on Twitch. I feel like just TJP afternoons on Impact's Twitch channel, I feel like people would tune in just to watch you game on Impact, you know?
Oh, I would love to host a recap show that is set to the backdrop of me trying to speed run Mega Man while I basically play the role of Bobby Heenan in the control center running through matches for the week or something. I would love that.
Have you not pitched this to Josh Matthews or something? That's wonderful. I would watch that.
I think it's worth another. I have pitched that sort of thing so many times in so many places, but I haven't pitched it since I've been back through Impact. So maybe that's it's worth dusting off that pitch.
This is a layup. It's a beautiful little tip off the fingers, and the ball goes into the net. This is easy, right? Anyway,
yeah.
Have you gotten their ear about another Impact video game? Speaking of your video gaming,
yeah. I mean, that's something that's a constant. So all the guys really want another one. We still talk about the old one. And it's funny because guys will talk to me about the old one as if, like, I published the game.
You're suicide. Like, of course you did.
Yeah, they have these questions about it. And I'm like, I don't know how to answer your question. I didn't, like, make the game in my house. But yeah, of course, everybody's looking forward to that. I think people are looking for alternatives, you know. I don't think that a lot of people are into the simulation style that 2K has, at least not everybody. And a lot of people like myself, like I love Fire Pro. That's always been my jam. But a lot of people either aren't aware of it or the timing based system that they have is just, it's just not their jam. So I always felt like I do run into a lot of people that were hoping for, you know, another alternative and to get another game from Impact.
I think you need to work in more backstage politics to really give people the experience. Like, you didn't shake Scott D'Amore's hand. You're on Explosion. I don't know, something.
Actually, well, I think the good one for that one would be one time Scott gave me a lot of crap for being on the massage therapist table when I was like, I don't know, 19 or 20, like when I first came into the company and I was getting something on my back, like worked out. And it was like, oh, look at this greenhorn, da 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 da. And so, yeah, I've been meaning to give Scott crap about that.
It's been like
15 years, so I forgot about it. But that would be the backstage politics cutscene I would add in if we expanded that cinematic part of the game.
So wait, was he upset you were getting a massage, or were you just upset? I don't know, why was he upset that you were?
Yeah. It was just giving me crap for being the young guy on the table when you know. Just those archaic wrestling things, like the older guys run the room and take advantage of that stuff first.
Gotcha.
Hey, I was new, and I was told to go there because I hurt my back. So I was like, okay, I'll do what you guys say, and then I get razzed for it. But that's the way it goes. So if you're a young wrestler and you're getting hazed, chances are you can't avoid it. So at least take the easy ones.
Last time we talked, I know you had mentioned how you had hit it off with Falaba, that you would be interested in tagging with Falaba. How close are we getting to that relationship playing out on Impact Wrestling?
Very close. And, you know, I've had a chance to spend some time around him, and it's funny because we hit it off immediately, and I that comes off very so stereotypical, but we did. In fact, when we went to Mexico, we pointed out a place to get a lechon or like chicharrones, like pork rinds. We get along really well, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing if I can help him kind of find his beast mode back. And on my side, like, I'm looking forward to letting out more of, you know, who I am and my personality and my background in ways that I didn't have an outlet for before, because I was expected to be a cruiserweight junior heavyweight / X division guy that was just go, go, go.
Right.
So I think that we were able to complement each other in a lot of ways and sort of kind of put some stuff together that unlocks pieces of us that people otherwise didn't get to see.
Very cool, man. All right, well, we'll wrap it up here. You know, you just were in Mexico City, Impact Wrestling. They're heading to Vegas here for the next set of TV tapings. What do you think fans can expect here from Impact in Vegas?
Well, I'm expecting to grab some fantastic Korean barbecue from the secret spot that I know that I'm going to take the guys after the show. But, Fifth and Sixth is in Vegas. I think it's an awesome venue for wrestling. It's at Sam's Town. And if I remember correctly, LA had some fire matches from some of the guys that were LA-based wrestlers, and a lot of them are probably going to be in or around TV here. So we might get some interesting matchups that you otherwise wouldn't see at other places, like if we did New York or I know Oklahoma's coming up and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll be able to kind of rock the boat and get some cool matchups. And for me personally, I'm looking forward to see if I can mix up with Boss some more and see what we can do.
There you go. TJ, anything you want to plug, promote, put over here before we wrap up the interview?
No, what we covered so far. I mean, we have TVs, Las Vegas, September 5th and 6th. Every Friday on Twitch and Pursuit, you can catch Impact Wrestling. And October 20th, Bound for Glory will be in Chicago. So for everybody that that looks forward for the big one every year, that one's coming up. That's rapidly approaching. And that's about it.
So, you know, we're entering the third season now of GLOW out right now. How much of a wrestling fan are you now as a result of doing this show?
As soon as I learned how to wrestle, it completely opened my eyes to the amazing, like, athleticism and in addition to all the performance elements that wrestlers have to do. And I have a huge appreciation for what wrestlers do. I'm not following the drama like my co-star Rebecca Johnson is. She is fully into it, so she'll give me little tidbits every now and then. She'll keep me up to date. She's like my sports news, wrestling sports news. I absolutely adore wrestling fans. I think they're so awesome, and every wrestler that we've come across has been so nice, and it's been awesome, like mutual admiration for what each other does. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool that you guys, you know, you're all throwing support for Kia, who recently returned to a wrestling company, AEW. So she's been doing some big things now, returning to the ring. So that's got to be
a fun
thing.
I know, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You know, on the first day of wrestling training, so the first season we did 4 weeks of wrestling training, as well as the second, and then the third season we did 3 weeks. And the first day, when I saw who Kia Stevens, when I saw her name, I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, she's a real wrestler? And then I looked her up and she looked so intimidating in the ring. And then the first day I met her, she was like, hi, how are you? My name's Kia. Like, so sweet and kind. And then they played a prank on one of the girls who came in late into training. She came like 5 days into training. And none of the rest of us has ever wrestled. And so I think it was Britt Baron who plays Justine. She came in and Chavo, our coach, told Kia, like, you know, just really go at me. So she came in and said, okay, everybody's going to do this. And then Kia and Chavo just went at it, just throwing each other around. And the look on Britt's face was like, what have we gotten ourselves into? But
yeah, it's amazing to hear how she could transform herself into that. Yeah, talking to her, you never have even known who she is.
Yeah, her and her husband come to my house for Thanksgiving, and it feels like she's a superhero in my home.
That's great. Speaking of Chavo, for Wrestling Inc., he did an interview not that long ago where he actually mentioned you kind of as a natural when it comes to the wrestling because of your photographic memory. Do you kind of remember kind of taking to it very quickly?
Yes, I do. It was quite a surprise to me that I was able to kind of look at a move and then do it right away. And I honestly think that I can attribute a lot of it to being a physical comedian. And I think pratfalls and any kind of joke, physical humor is helped me with wrestling. And I also, you know, took dance and music. I'm not like a professional dancer or anything, but I do have a lot of body awareness, and I didn't realize that wrestling was so close to, it's like a mix of like, it's like a slam dance with some physical comedy. So, and just like also being a ham when you fall, just really like a good soccer player, just like, oh, my knee.
Yeah.
Just, I'm very good,
playing it up.
Yeah.
You mentioned meeting some wrestlers over your time as part of GLOW. Do you have one in particular that kind of was really an especially memorable experience for you?
Well, you know, we went to the WWE, all the GLOW girls, and we watched, we did a bit with two of the wrestlers, and they were so funny and fun. And what was, I think, the most amazing part was watching them, like, you get one take backstage, everybody's backstage like, I'm gonna kick your ass, and the person's like, I'm gonna kick your ass, and they're like cutting, like, great, good show, I can't wait to see you in the ring, you know. I believe that was Naomi. She was pretty awesome, and I forget the other girl she was beefing with. You probably know better than I do, but they were so awesome. And then obviously we've got to meet the real GLOW girls from the original 1980 series, and they've been so supportive. Dawn, who plays Godiva, Little Egypt, they reach out and they show up to events and share their stories, and that's a pretty trippy experience.
Yeah. And as far as this season, you guys are in Las Vegas. Just talk about maybe the difference in aesthetic and having filming as part of it. You know, it seems like things are a lot bigger in Vegas, and just the impact that it has on all the girls. But what's great, I think, about this season is There's a little bit more focus on some of the, I don't want to say secondary characters, but characters that we don't really see, we haven't seen at the forefront. So they're kind of getting their time to shine. So it must kind of created kind of a, I don't know, like a, I don't say freshness, but just kind of a new energy on set, I think, with between Gina Davis, between Las Vegas, and just kind of having some of the actresses really getting the opportunity to kind of show what they can do.
Yeah, this season was completely different than any other season we have done in the past. Obviously, we got pretty comfy in our gym space in Los Angeles, and we filmed in Los Angeles, even though it took place in Vegas.
Right.
Because Las Vegas looks too much like 2019 Las Vegas. which, I mean, it's believable that Cher would be there in 1985 or in 2019. But, but yeah, so we shot a lot of it in Las Vegas. And obviously, Gina Davis being on our set brought an incredible, exciting energy because she is a legend. And obviously, this show is all about a lot of female empowerment. It's about women's issues, and she has kind of stood for that her entire career. So for her to be there was very special for all of us. And she's, I think every single cast member said at a different point to Gina Davis, so like, I admire you so much, you're my hero. So I can't imagine what it's like to be Gina Davis. but yeah, it was really amazing to see the ensemble shine this season. We've always really supported each other, no matter where we are on screen, and it's always felt like an ensemble show. And this season in particular, it was nice. They took, so for example, in episode 6, Melrose and Jenny, played by Ellen Wong and Jackie Tone, they shared their real stories with the showrunners, and they incorporated a lot of their real life stories into that episode, which was very remarkable, very emotional, and that was my personal favorite episode. And then for me, I'm playing a clown most of the time for the first 2 seasons, and suddenly I'm walking into season 3 as a villain. So it was a really interesting transformation for me, and like being around Las Vegas, like this place that's basically like a indoor air conditioned, weird, hell, you know, and doing the same show over and over again. The characters, I think, started to have these like existential crises.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, at the end, you know, there's this big cliffhanger. So hopefully, I mean, I think if there's a season 4, I mean, I think if there's not, I think there's going to be an uprising. Considering where we leave off, but if there is a season 4, where kind of you want to see your character go, and just what you think would be next for yourself?
Well, first of all, it's good to know that we have the wrestling community behind us for the uprising, because they're tough and smart, and can body slam a season 4. I would love to see my character continue to kind of explore that villainous side of her a little bit. But I would also love for her and Dawn to get back together to come up with some new comedy duos, some new tag team bits, because that's my absolute favorite place to be, is doing comedy with my partner in crime, Rebecca.
Yeah, and you mentioned working with Rebecca. I know you had directed a short film, Consent. I know GLOW touches on a lot of topics when it comes to women and empowerment and just different issues facing women back then and these days. Just talk about that project and kind of what it means to you to kind of collaborate in such a, you know, tough, you know, important topic.
Yeah. Rebecca wanted to make a short film about her personal experiences dealing with consent sexual assault, and wanted to talk about the gray line between sexual assault and a bad date. And we had started talking about it and how she wanted to make a film, and she knew she wanted me to direct it. So we started to develop this script, and we went through several drafts because oftentimes, you know, it is a very tricky, delicate subject, and you don't want it to go one way where it seems like you don't want her to be portrayed as a victim, and you don't want her to be portrayed as some kind of revenge film. So what Rebecca did is so smart and clever. She took the idea of consent and flipped it on its head and made it a bit of an allegory. So it's about a singer named Libby who is has a connection with this guy from the stage, and then she starts singing to him without his consent and takes it a little too far. So we have been able to open up conversations with people by looking at it, coming at it from a different angle. We're able to talk about the subject more openly, I think. And it's been a wonderful experience. And obviously it was very difficult on the day because the person who played the quote unquote victim in the movie is played by a white man, and Tate Ellington, who is an amazing actor, but we had to keep telling him, no, you wouldn't say no right away if she started singing to you, because you don't want to offend her, but you kind of want to keep her interested. And we're explaining to him what it was like to be a woman, and he was so miserable at the end of the day. He said, I feel like shit. And we were like, oh, okay. Well, so eye-opening experience, I think, for all involved.
All right. And then lastly, just, you know, I know you're, I believe you have a podcast as well that you just launched not that long ago.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's coming out in the beginning of October.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm working with a company called Erios, E-A-R-I-O-S. It'll be produced by Jen Perry-Leamy, and it's called The Mother of All Shows, and it's an anthropological and comedic look at all things motherhood. So, when I found out I became a mother, I cried. When I thought I was pregnant, I just cried like a 15-year-old girl rather than the, like, 30-something married woman that I was. And I think it was because I started looking at the internet and didn't have any resources. The internet's the devil. It's your mother. So I wanted to create a podcast that doesn't take motherhood too seriously, but asks the question, why were these rules made and who actually made them? Because there's a lot of judgment and unnecessary pressure on mothers and fathers, parents in general. I'm sure wrestling fans are going to love it. So
yeah. I mean, well, you can have Kia on one day. I mean, she's a mom. I'm sure she can kind of can go on the mm-hmm. show and kind of talk about her experiences.
Yeah, I'm going to get all the wrestling moms on a podcast one time. That's a great idea.
There you go.
Awesome.
There's so many out there. I just created a top. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll attribute you to that episode.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Love the new season, so it's great to kind of talk about and reflect on everything that happened. So
appreciate you watching
four.
It. Yes, let's continue to get the word out and
do our part.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Rate 5? I don't know. How does it work? <I'm sorry.
laughs> Everyone get Trent Globe, please, season 4 trending, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thank you so much.
All right. No problem.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Thank you, Justin, for joining me for the news at the top of the show. Thank you to TJP. Thank you to Scott Fishman for going out and chatting with Glow's Kimmy Gatewood. Of course, Glow is now available on Netflix. Go check it out. It's very good, is it not, Justin?
It's great. And speaking of Kimmy, last night I was watching the episode of when they all went on their overnight camping trip, and the biddies were hitting the pot.
Hitting the pot. You are so square. Hitting the pot. Smoking bongs is what they were doing, Justin. It was hilarious.
I'm aware.
Smoking bongs out in the desert. No spoilers, but they get high.
What did, I don't know why I always think of it. What did Adam Sandler say in Big Daddy when he's interrogating the kids?
I don't know. It's
been smoking the Chiba.
Smoking the Chiba. Even that's cool, though. Hitting the pot. Who are you, my 55-year-old older friend here? Are you a cop, Justin? Are you a cop? You have to tell me if you are. Officer? Jeez, officer.
That seems to be the officer problem.
Yeah, the officer in the room here getting up on me. Anyway, well, that was delightful. I do love, you know what? I do love my stoner comedy. Low-key, the Rascals, like my favorite gimmick in all of pro wrestling right now. I think it's hilarious. So funny. With that, again, I want to remind you, I'm heading off here to Schaumburg here to cover the All Out press conference and weigh-in. But we'll have coverage of StarCast and All Out all weekend long. Of course, we will also have coverage of NXT UK TakeOver, New Japan's Royal Quest, and Warrior Wrestling 6. That'll be on Sunday. Justin, anything you want to plug, promote, put over here before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, WrestleRumble.com. Go to WrestleRumble.com. Make your predictions for AEW Saturday night. Like I said, first prize is $1,000. Of course, give me a follow on Twitter at Justin Labar and leave some comments about the Winkly on the Wrestling Inc. iTunes channel.
Yeah, great. Yes. Instead of leaving a positive tweet, actually, you can leave me a positive tweet about the show, but copy paste that. Go drop it on our iTunes channel as a nice comment. That stuff is always appreciated. And of course, this Friday night, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at StarCast, I am hosting the StarCast improv show. Some of Chicago's finest improvisers. I got the best improv keyboardist in the city, John Sterk. My good friends Kevin Kellum and Cassio Kidd are going to do a little stand-up comedy. And Ross Berman is going to play some folk music to shut us down. He has a folk song about Tom McGee that will blow your mind. So if you're coming out to StarCast tomorrow night, 10 p.m., come find us at the Blue Chew Pavilion. That's right. The Blue Chew Pavilion there. Get you up. Get you erect. Get ready for comedy here at the Blue Chew Pavilion. You can enjoy some comedy. Is that good?
Pretty hard. Pretty hard pavilion, I heard.
Very hard pavilion. Your lungs will not be flaccid because they'll be worked hard from the laughing. That's pretty good. Right?
And hitting the pot.
Hitting the pot with Officer Justin Labar here on the Winkly. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm at Wink Rubble over on Twitter. And remember, if you winked, you didn't miss it.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.